Steuer? Aber easy. Mit Wieso Steuer. Einfach Foto deiner Dokumente machen und schwupps wird alles automatisch ausgefüllt. Kein Plan, ob's passt? Wieso Steuer prüft deine Angaben noch vor Abgabe. So gibt's keine Fehler mehr. Und bei Fragen hilft dir Steuer-GPT so, dass du's verstehst. Das Beste? Du siehst jederzeit, was du zurückbekommst. So steigt deine Erstattung und die Vorfreude. Jetzt ausprobieren und noch schnell bis zum 31. Juli abgeben. Wieso Steuer? So einfach war Steuererklärung noch nie.
Genug vom täglichen Grind. Spiele Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 3 und 4 und grinde, als wär's 2002. Ein legendäres Remake der Originalspiele mit neuen Parks, krasseren Tricks, plattformübergreifendem Multiplayer und abgefahrenen neuen Spielmodi. Hol dir das neue Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 3 und 4 und zeig der Welt, der Shred stirbt nie. Jetzt vorbestellen auf tonyhawkthegame.com/playnow. Verfügbar ab dem 11. Juli.
Beautiful sons of bitches. From Meltdown Comics in Hollywood, California, Harmontown is now in session. I like your new lights. Please welcome to the stage the mayor of Harmontown, Mr. Dan Harmon.
Hooray! It's probably not that different for them, but the lighting is very different for the performer tonight. They're shooting different kinds of stuff in here lately.
Are they shooting like an autopsy scene?
There is like what it seems to be like the light that Quincy used to figure out how people got killed. Yeah, above me, or I'm like a chicken McNugget. I'm fine with it, and I'm sure I look great. But it's funny how the little things kind of throw you.
I like these though. Maybe for D&D we could get these little kind of groovy old like Tesla, like early Edison lights.
Well, Zach was taking me through. He's got full control over every single bulb in the building. Anyone you want? No, I'm
Zach,
kidding.
Zach, can you take us through a couple moods right now? Or no?
he's got. Here's his list of moods he can accomplish with his controls.
Okay.
There's this one.
Right.
And that
there
one.
You go.
All right, bro. I'm sure those of you listening at home understand that what we did was the old joke where there's two things. Okay.
One of them was light bulbs on, one was light bulbs off. Oh, no, but they can be slowly dimmed to terrifying effect. It's kind of nice.
All right, Jeff.
Yes, Dan?
What I learned from the last couple episodes is that this is going to be a segment-driven show now. We've got segments.
No tangents, more segments.
All right, so here's our new segment called... It's called... Help Me Help Myself. See, people love it. They love segments. Does it really... Okay. So I need help with a couple of things. All Facebook. Right. Help me with Facebook. here's my dilemma.
I got lots of fucking problems with Facebook.
So I have a Facebook account. I have at this point, I don't know, let's just say 42,000 friends. Mm-hmm. I'm putting air quotes around friends, of course, because what that really means is like fans, who I consider friends and who I certainly treat better than most of my friends. So my Facebook page is, I never go to it, and the inbox is just full of, you know, people going like, hey, I met you at such and such. It sort of renders Facebook's actual usefulness kind of neutral. Like, it doesn't really, Facebook isn't really useful for me. So I never go to it, and the syndrome continues. So I'm just wondering what the hell I'm supposed to do. This is a question you can't really ask without sounding like an asshole, because you're like kind of humble bragging, aren't you? You're going like, somebody, what should I do? Because there's people that have the fan things. Like, oh, this is the Ronald McDonald fan page. I'm a follower of Ronald McDonald. I'm not his friend, though. And then there's Ronald McDonald's actual Facebook page, I assume, where he's like, I fucked Grimace last night. Check it out. Here's a picture of it. And he's like, you know, and it's cool. It's fine because it's like, it's only the Fry Guys and like Hamburglar are like, yeah. And he like leaves a comment, says rabble, rabble. And like, and you know, Birdie liked this.
Yeah. Birdie likes everything.
Moonhead's performing at the piano bar again.
Was he just Mac? What was his name?
I don't know. Mac.
Mac tonight?
Mac of desperation. That was the dark chapter of McDonald's otherwise bright and shining, delightful, entertaining cavalcade of characters.
So are you asking, should you be more, should you treat Facebook more like a band would?
I need to do something. I need someone to Facebook coach me. I need somebody to say, here's what you do. Take your existing account with your 48 million whatevers, you know, do you convert that into a thing? Or do you have to go through and
I think you
unfriend?
You have to break up with 48 million.
I have to. I have to make an announcement. And this is a thing that like LA stand-ups like go through, and they I think sometimes because I've heard stories. That's the other thing that has me gun shy is that people go like, "Well, my name's Dave Johnson," and they go like, "Oh man, you know what? I'm gonna change my Facebook account to a fan account," and then all the friends are like, "Fuck you," and it's. It's, you know, there's a, it's not exciting to the audience at all. And I don't know why I thought it would be. I thought maybe a Facebook expert could come up and help me. That would be amazing. Let's move on.
I mean, I would guess that if we asked by applause, you would get several Facebook experts that would be quite happy to help you on that.
And who would be quite proud to be Facebook experts, I'm sure.
Facebook for me, because like, I was always, you know, like notoriously single and I have a girlfriend, but Facebook, the only like perceivable benefit that ever was you could go look up a picture of a girl you saw last night. You could type in her name and a couple triangulating bits of information. You go, oh, okay, she was cute, or maybe she's a weirdo. She has a tattoo of a racial slur on her forehead, or like. But like, as somebody has like, I have no use for it now. Now I get in trouble. I got in trouble a little bit, not really, a joking trouble with my girlfriend today because she loves Facebook because she's from Scotland, so it's like she keeps in touch with her friends and family for free. That's great. I'm from here. I see all the people I like. I like three people from school, and one of them's coming on the show tonight. And anyone else, I don't really need to talk to. But I because of you, I've been playing Hay Day, that little game where you make a little farm. And she's like, oh, so you like Katie's farm, huh? I'm like, what? It's like I click like and it tells everybody I know that I liked a farm. That's the fucking worst thing that's
ever
happened.
Yeah, I don't want to know about my Facebook Hay Day paper trail.
I'm proud of my Candy Crush paper trail because I put a lot of fucking work in on that.
Do you want help? Do you want help with your apple tree? Yeah, well, fuck it. I want help with my apple tree. I don't know that that means that it's
hear
like...
Hear ye! Hear ye!
I don't know. Go. Just an old man. No country for old men, this internet.
It's just too goddamn busy, and it changes too much. And I know it's like there's just too much shit going on it. And the pictures are always like, every time you try to look at pictures, it's different.
Yeah.
I don't like it.
Yeah. All right, fuck Facebook.
Fuck Facebook.
That's the conclusion. I don't need help with Facebook. Fuck Facebook.
Fuck the movie about Facebook.
I like that movie. That's a good movie.
No, fuck you.
Well, okay. That's fine. That's valid. All right. So here's the second and last item in this segment that I need help with.
What was it called? Help myself? Help me help you?
Help me help myself. Okay. I came up with that on the fly.
All right.
It's a take on the help me help you from Jerry McDoodles. So when you get an Uber, a lot of my time is spent in Ubers now. Uber cars.
Yeah, the non-taxi get a ride kind
of. So one of the things that makes it a non-taxi ride is the compulsive insistence of the driver on opening the door for you. And it's especially annoying when upon arrival because it truly slows you down. That you pull up and okay, we're here and he's like scrambling. They tell them or something. Someone's telling people you have to open the door for them. That's what makes it not a cab. And it's I sometimes I have success by going like, I got the door, it's fine, and they're like, oh, fuck, okay. But like, you have to like assert yourself. You have to like deny someone something. And if you don't, if you just go with the flow, it's the most ridiculous thing in the world. You pull up to a thing, a yogurt bin, wherever you're going.
And not the one close by your house that you could walk to. The one that, the good one that you have to get a ride to.
That crosstown yogurt bin.
Yeah.
The over by the
and
bazaar.
You don't want to take your own car there because you know how the parking is at the crosstown yogurt
bin. I'm not driving back drunk on yogurt through all those... Burbank cops. That's what they're waiting for. There's like three cops right outside the yogurt bin. Like, we're gonna get them. You pull up, and then it's just. I don't know. What do you do?
I would say here. I will give this advice to you. If I could help you help yourself on this one, if you're gonna start taking Ubers everywhere,
and you're gonna
keep getting out of the back seat of a car.
Yes.
Opened by a gentleman.
Own it. You want me to own it?
Start wearing long white fur coats.
and like a nylon stockings and like kind of put my leg out so that the camera can pan up.
There you are. Yeah, start doing some upskirts. Like some nip slips. Like really fucking get, like give us something.
All right, I'll just own it.
Make it worth our while.
I'll get like a prop poodle.
I would go the high heel shoes with the goldfish in the thing. Yeah, let me like do the whole thing.
I'll just always have shopping bags with me. See, that might be useful if I got a bunch of shit. I don't know. All right. My next segment is called Starbound, a video game I'm playing. Starbound's great. It's a great video game. All right.
That was it?
Yep.
Wait, Dan, you just learned how to help yourself. You didn't need us to help you on that one.
No. That's the old segment. That was the two different segments.
Okay. I was just excited that you've already you went from helplessness to completely activated.
Oh no. Yeah, I only need help with the Ubers and the Facebook. Starbound, I'm good. It's great. It's a great game.
Did you give up on your iHarmon? You gave up on it pretty quickly.
Yep.
Right?
Gave up. Yep.
I mean, you came in pretty hard on that one, or high and hard. What was the deciding factor on no more notepads around your neck?
It just wasn't working. It just doesn't. I'm using a new kind of app that works with Evernote that my friend Kevin Day recommended to me. It's called EverMemo, and all it does is it just lets you put in a memo, and it puts it into Evernote for you. So it kind of.
Does Evernote roll its eyes when that happens?
Is he still using Evernote? We got him. It's kind of built on top of Evernote. I don't get it anymore. I don't want to just kill myself. Just give me an app that's just like a rope that I can just kill myself on.
I miss what you actually
keyboard
did.
Doesn't work anymore. You can't type anymore. They're just weeding people like me out, man.
You had the affectation of carrying around the little magnetic ball chain thing that you can make little shapes and stuff, and you were like a cute little like savant baby at the restaurant. And nobody bothered you because you were clearly making a cube.
I looked weird. Yeah.
Yeah.
Looked like I could strangle you with it. Anyways, I'm still looking at this. There's only one more thing on it. I don't like Southwest Airlines. I don't. We went to Sketchfest, and I don't like this first come first serve seating thing. I don't like the weird combination between that and the you're in section A. We're gonna call. I don't get it. No one likes to get on an airplane. Nobody likes air travel. They cram you into this little tube. You might die. I know that you're more likely to die on the freeway, but you're also more likely to die by your own hand on the freeway. Like you're more likely to have the satisfaction of skidding into another guy, making eye contact with him before you get decapitated, and both of you going like, "Fuck you!" or just like, "Oh shit!" Like on an airplane, it's just fuck it. There's just some coked up Denzel Washington in the cockpit, and you know you're flying upside down because you hit turbulence. You don't know what's going on. They could get over the thing. Are they telling you the truth or not? There's just some asshole up there, like some assholes all around you, bossing you around. Put your phone in airplane mode. You can use it now. You can't use it. Hey, by the way, I had my phone out of airplane mode the whole time. Science experiment over. The plane doesn't crash. It's done with this. Fucking garbage. garbage. I know they just changed the rules, so now you can actually, you can have the things on. But also, what the fuck? Why are they always bossing you around? Why is everything a fucking caveat and a disclaimer? The items may have shifted in the thing. What fucking asshole got knocked out by a duffel bag in 1938 that we all have to listen? Do you know the amount of time put together that we've all had to listen to that fucking warning about how items may have shifted? What the fuck is going on? Have you ever seen an item shift? Have you ever seen anything fall out? Has anyone ever gotten hurt? Obviously, one person did, and they're so worried about that $50,000 lawsuit that for fucking 50 years they've been telling you about the items shifting. I just hate them. I hate them.
That's how Billy Mays died.
Billy Mays died? The baseball player?
That's really
First of all, I can't. This lighting means I can't see you.
The infomercial guy.
Oh yeah, the Coke infomercial guy, the ShamWow or whatever the hell. Not the ShamWow guy, but the OxyClean.
He died by item shiftage. overhead.
He died because his heart exploded from cocaine.
I mean, and also, but not only did you do that, Adam, but before you did it, I think you went, really? Like you were incredulous about... Mid-rant. You just fucking rantus interruptus.
Yeah.
I have blue rant now. My outrage just numb. It hurts. Someone's got to give me got to massage me with their hand until I'm angry about something again.
I wish you all could have been up there for the show we did a couple nights ago in San Francisco where a fellow named Jeremy came out on stage and then shit went just straight up.
Well, they've heard it by now. But
Neil Berkley, the guy that's shooting the documentary, said, like, I hated that Eva girl. And I was like, you wouldn't have if you saw her. You would have hated the guy more.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
There's a thing that you don't, there's an oral versus visual experience you have with podcasts and live shows where nobody really had a problem with her that I could, I mean, maybe somebody did. But as one, the audience instantly didn't like that guy. And it wasn't because he, you know, was wearing like a KKK outfit. Like he was just
I would qualify that and say, well, as I said up there, I don't know how many people didn't actually decided that they didn't like him. I think that a vast majority of people suddenly decided that they didn't believe him.
Yeah, but then when it was like, well, let's maybe he's just awkward or maybe just this. But then it was just like boo. Like they I think that at some point they just would rather him not have been up there or whatever.
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, I think if they all went out and had a drink with him after the show, like everything might have been fine. But just as the moment somebody came up on stage and made it onto the stage, that person ceased to be one of them and became somebody that they wanted not up there as paying customers.
Yeah, I think everybody that comes to a Harmontown show, they go like, you know, they like the fact that somebody can come up. They like that experience. But that person owes a lot to the audience because the audience is sitting there thinking, I paid $10 too. I'd love to be on stage, maybe, maybe not. But in either case, I'm not coming up there. So what the fuck are you doing up there? And you better make it good. And I think people are less prone to feel that way when they're listening to the podcast than when they're sitting in the audience because they waited in line, et cetera, and they can pheromones and visuals, body language. Yeah. That's why that phenomenon of like in the early days it was like, Adam Goldberg, do you love him or hate him? Is he a Hamburglar or a hero? And I think it seemed like people that listened to the podcast were like, I don't mind Adam Goldberg. He's fine. Because he's like coming through one channel and you're just chopping carrots and he's not fucking with that. But you come. There's a difference if you're sitting in the crowd.
But here, you know that if you were chopping carrots and he could fuck with that, he would.
It's been a long time since we talked to Adam Goldberg, isn't it? Should we just bring him up and just like let's just talk to him, Adam?
Adam, get up on stage, you little devil. The crowd goes mild. I love it. the ever increasingly tepid applause of bringing you up on stage.
It's fine. It's the joke was stale a year and a half ago, and I'm fine.
So you hate stale premises?
I'm reinventing this premise. You know what? In the last year, I got an O from I'm reinventing
you
myself.
No, you haven't been up here long enough to start judging people yet.
No, you're right. That's a fair point.
Also, you, and not to derail a derailment, but she made one little sound that was the sound of enjoying a show, and you've been, for the last 10 minutes, you go like, I can hear you.
Robble, yes.
It bumps me.
It means I've been rooting for you and Grimace for a long time. Robble, robble. But, yeah, he did die from a... He died because a bunch of junk fell on him in an airplane.
That's not true.
Fox News... the local Fox News says it's true. Not Fox News, the international one.
I would say his publicist wants you to think that's true.
That'd be the worst day as a publicist, yes. Where you have to be like, how did he die? He was unpacking a suitcase.
I don't know how he died.
He got a boo-boo.
If he died because an item fell on him, it was a kilo of cocaine. And it fell into his nostril.
I would like to see... Mythbusters should address that. Like, can you create a situation where items shift enough in an overhead compartment that, you know, how much damage can you do to a human being that's unwarned? You know, and then the most important part is, now let's warn them and see what fucking changes. Because what are we, am I Neo from the Matrix? If I know that the items have shifted, I'm going to, like, do a backbend and it's going to bullet time over my shoulder? And what the hell is up there? Oh, how fast is it traveling? What the fuck? Those things open like DeLorean doors. They open like gull wings. Like, what's going to jump out? Like a fucking... Does somebody have the monster from Basket Case in there? Is it a critter from the...
From the joke one guy got?
that was a Kumail laugh. From the Roger Corman classic. Right?
Is that just Kumail digging the show from the background?
I didn't want to give you blue rant in the middle there.
All right. Well,
it was the creature from Critter.
Okay. So, Adam, how are you doing? What are you doing vocationally?
I started my own business. I do search engine strategy and optimization. I make sure online stores actually sell things when they want to, which is important when people only go to one website to buy things.
So Target comes to you.
I wish Target.
No, they don't. But let's say Target comes
to
you.
Someone opened this like a fishing expo in Minnesota, and they're like, people aren't buying enough fishing lures. We got 3% of customers buying them. Can you get that up to 6? And I'm like, yes.
So you look at the things that happen when you Google fishing lures, and you see, and you. What do you?
I changed websites so that people aren't like, yeah, I guess I don't need a fishing lure. Maybe the ones I have are good. I don't want to click through 15 different pages.
I get it.
As opposed to like getting coffee for people and driving RVs badly, which was the last year of my life. Producing that shark movie, which I got fired from it 2 days after talking about being on it here. And everyone got carbon monoxide poisoning because they rented cheap trailers. And
are you still under investigation for that? have police eliminated you as a possible suspect in that?
They Googled Adam Goldberg culpable monoxide. Yeah, nothing came up.
They just saw a lovely fishing lure and they're like, all right, let's all go fishing.
He seems a little short to be on the Vikings. I don't think that's a guy. No, Hulk Hogan's daughter was like, this script is below me. I'm not going to do it. And then I got fired, and then they kept making the movie, and then I was unfired, and then I was refired. It was just like continual panic attacks. So when you see a shitty shark movie, it's not because they weren't trying. It's because one person was trying and everyone else wasn't.
Aww. You were the guy that was trying, you're saying.
I was. We were splitting an internet connection 8 ways, and I was hired into a position 2 levels above my competency, which at the time, it was minimal, but this was... Hey, Adam, you've been in charge of dozens of dollars before. Where are we shooting? I don't know.
What was your position on the shark movie?
I was production coordinator. I thought I was going to be assistant. It was production manager. I thought I was getting hired on as associate PC.
Is this you just nailing a phony baloney resume? Or what?
I was like, hey, my friend's making a skiing movie. You want to do it? Like, I guess I'm not doing anything.
And then they're like,
hey, welcome our new production manager. I'm like, oh, no, no. Oh, no. Oh, no.
I don't know. I don't want to torpedo you or anything.
No,
but
you have a
you're a mover and a shaker. I got a feeling you ended up in a situation where you were over your head.
Oh,
by your own design.
You got what you bargained for.
I got more than I bargained for.
You slip into the back doors of limos and you're like, yeah, I know Ben Vereen. Like you know, you just kind of like
Ben
pop
Vereen?
In there.
Yeah. Is that yeah. like a no, is that,
I, for those keeping track of them, Quincy and Ben Vereen.
Owning my age. When you read Salinger, you probably have to look shit up too. He's
wow.
worth it.
Wow.
Obscure author J.D. Salinger.
We just got defensively high-roaded on the Ben Vereen reference.
Nothing would be worse than me than your creepy uncle trying to be on with Pokemon?
There are so many Pokemon now. I feel old when it's like it used to be not very many Pokemon. Now there are very many Pokemon.
You gotta catch them all, right?
I wanted to. I run a business now. I gotta hire someone to catch my Pokemon.
All right, let's have a historic happy ending for an Adam Goldberg appearance and thank him for coming up. Thank you.
Adam Goldberg!
Thank you, brother. I would have had more questions for him, but we have a lot of talent in the show tonight.
We have too much show tonight.
Too much show.
There's too much show. Too not
much,
enough time.
Too much energy. Too much entertainment in store for them.
Yeah.
It's gonna be coming up over the top. There's gonna be a meniscus.
I think that our show the amount
they're gonna
of
have
show,
to go like this on the top of the show yeah. before they carry it
you,
to the
you can't,
table.
If you try to pick this show up across the table, it's gonna end up in your lap.
Yeah, you're gonna have to. As gross as it is for your friends, you're gonna have to slurp from the top of the show before you give it to them.
And I think that our show naturally counterbalances the lack of lighting that we have now. I think we put more show on the stage because it's just the one autopsy light.
Yeah. The weird secondary effect of this diffuse kind of lighting that's made for shooting is that I can't see anybody in the audience as usual, except for everyone in the front row who are lit like the Kryptonian tribunal.
Yeah. Exactly.
They look like they're gonna sentence me to the Phantom Zone. Yes. Or be sentenced to the Phantom Zone. I don't know. It was the same thing in San Francisco at Comedy Club. There was this balcony, and all the people were strangely lit. In the front row of the balcony, there were these people sitting above you. Like,
yeah, Kumail, get up here. I have a question for you. Kumail Nanjiani, everybody.
What have you wrought?
Hey, how's it going?
Because it's lit this way because of the good news that you're shooting your comedy foo-foo laser bomb show.
We're doing the comedy foo-foo laser bomb show for Comedy Central. No, we're doing The Meltdown, which I host with Jonah Ray every week, and we're doing it for TV. So I apologize. The lighting is
looks,
like
it looks
this.
Great. We're doing the hacky riffing the set thing, and we did it poorly. And it's right.
No, it's great. Can I say something? Again, I'm gonna piss. I was talking to Gorley back there, and I was like, "It is. If you're in a position to fire Adam Goldberg, can you even bring yourself to not do it?" Like, and then Gorley said they probably hired him again to fire him again. Like, can you, if you could fire him from this, how great would it feel? No offense, bro.
The thing is, theoretically, we should be able to fire him, but we can't.
They felt like they didn't fire him enough. It was like,
you know what was great? They were having a bad week. They're like, that day I fired Adam Goldberg.
Damn it.
I knew I did something right that day.
Yeah.
I think that's
what heroin must be like. Just this feeling of serotonin pouring down my spine.
You're just trying to reclaim the first time you fired Adam Goldberg.
Hire him back under any pretext. Get him back in my office.
You know, people don't know this, but
I gotta get that fix back.
Yeah. Okay, you fire Adam Goldberg in the beginning because it feels good. Then you just do it to feel like yourself.
Oh, yeah. But you know what? But then you're chasing that dragon. It's never as good the second time.
It's never as good.
I can't even get through the day without firing Adam Goldberg.
Exactly.
Falling asleep at the wheel. And
I OD'd on firing Adam Goldberg. I died with a smile on my face.
The problem is, he'd also be your drug dealer. Like you'd have to rely on him to show up and you have to hang out with him at a bar and shit.
Enjoy us hanging out in a bar.
Your segment is over, Adam. Remember the happy ending? Yeah, I know. We're just fucking with you because it's hilarious.
Part of the fun of it. I did laugh at your Critters reference because I love that movie, and that was one of the first movies that Emily and I watched together.
Critters.
Yeah.
It's sad as your brain dies. Among the sad things are that everything you're referencing. This is me at 38, I would say. I was going like, it's a bummer that everything in my brain that I used to make a point is now absolutely unknown to most of the people that I'm talking to. The sadder thing is, as you just witnessed, at 41, I couldn't quite think of the word critters anymore. Now that's going away. I should embrace that and just become 16 again and go like, well, you know, just get into fucking Lady Boo Boo or whatever they're listening to and like make, it's an invitation.
Lady Boo Boo? I think it's Miley Gaga.
Lady Boo Boo.
Ironically, or it's appropriate, the only young hip reference you know is the show you created. That's the only...
And that's getting old.
No, it's not.
But it's good that it got old. Guys, wait, Spencer, if it died young, you would have hated
Spencer
that.
Spencer sent me a link. I didn't get a chance to listen to it because I was in the car. That Ben Folds made a song about community or something?
Made a song about community. Yeah. No, Ben Folds, he did a... Yeah, for the Ass Crack Bandit episode, he did a really great low-rent Leonard Cohen song. Like I got to talk to Ben Folds on the phone and talk to him about the concept, and then he did this thing. One of our writers, Eric Summers, just sent him like 80 paragraphs of lyrics areas about dropping coins into ass cracks, and I think he literally put all of them into this incredible, shamefully toe-tapping song. It's got all these hooks to it, and it's like it's about an ass crack bandit that puts quarters down your butt. I jumped on the opportunity. Aaron's a big fan of Ben Folds, bigger fan than me, certainly a better fan than me. So I finagled an opportunity to go to dinner with him, and I would say, I don't think it's premature to say that we're friends. And
did
that,
you invite Erin to?
Yeah.
Okay.
No, but she...
Just sending her pictures of you guys hanging out.
The weird thing is that I think because... And I don't want to overanalyze or suffocate this new relationship that is just blooming. But I think that the fact that I know nothing about music and that he doesn't really know, he's not a writer, like, is allowing us to be really pretentious with each other in texts and like instant messages and things. So I could go like, what do you mean you're practicing your concerto? And he can be like, well, he doesn't have to worry. He's not talking to Warren Zevon or something. And for a good reason.
Warren Zevon.
Great reference.
Did you die?
Are you writing that down?
Did you die in 1976?
Yeah, that new song, Werewolves of London.
Yeah.
That's burning up the charts right now.
I thought that was a pretty good stab at somebody that might intimidate Ben Folds.
Well, he's dead, but yeah. It's,
right,
it's,
but...
I got you.
Anyways, I thought I did a good job. No, I don't want to Goldberg you guys, let me just yell out over your fun mocking me.
I'd like
to say...
I want to challenge you to see how obscure 70s, 80s you can go.
Warren Zevon is awesome.
Yeah,
that guy was great. He knew he was going to die. He got lung cancer, and they were like, you have like a couple months. So he recorded his last album. It's called The Wind, knowing he was going to die. And he's like, all right, well, this is the last thing I'm going to make. And it's awesome. It's full of joy and like really funny. And he has like a bunch of his friends on it. Bruce Springsteen's on it. It's a fucking great album, The Wind. Listen to it.
Who's the guy that turned down that gig?
I think Ben Folds turned it down.
He was it like, had to be too... Gene Simmons, right?
Yeah. Like,
nah, man. Kiss doesn't get the joke.
Kiss doesn't relate to mortality.
Kiss lives forever. I don't understand what you're saying. You're dying. Why would he come sing on your album?
He was...
I'm a demon. If you're dying, it's probably my doing.
When he found out he was going to die, he held a press conference, and this is before Casino Royale came out, and he said in his press conference, I just want to live long enough to see the new Bond movie. I hear they're taking it in a new direction. And they did. Casino Royale was great.
Wow.
Yeah. He's
with
awesome.
That statement, he took press conferences and death in a new direction.
Yeah. Like,
that is a new way to handle going out.
And then all the people at the Bond film, like, guys, did you hear that press conference?
Oh, fuck.
We better take this in a new direction.
Yeah. they're all standing there with Roger Moore and an alligator puppet, and they're like, fuck.
Yeah. Yeah, Daniel Craig, get in the gym right now.
Somebody call a casting director. Get Pierce Brosnan out of here. Speaking of Bond obsession,
yeah. If you've never met a guy with a bigger Bond boner, or if you have, I'd like to meet him. No, I wouldn't. I don't want to meet a guy with a bigger Bond boner. I don't want. Look, everybody. This is the worst intro of all time.
He's already killed on stage, and he hasn't been on yet.
Yeah, this is. If you haven't listened to the Super Ego podcast, he's one of the geniuses behind that, and I've known him since seventh grade, and he's my dear friend Matt Gourley, everybody.
Hi, everybody. I'm as big a Warren Zevon fan as I am a James Bond.
Really?
And my girlfriend just bought me a Warren Zevon album for Christmas.
Which album?
The Lawyers, Guns, and Money. Or Excitable Boy.
Yeah, that's a good one.
My God, and you guys are back. I'm back there, and you're talking about it, and I'm just going...
we're gonna take a turn now. We're going to talk about Pokemon.
Oh, shit.
What do you think?
Ben Vereen.
Is that your favorite Pokemon, Ben Vereen?
Yeah.
What are his powers?
Pippin and Robert Guillaume.
By the way, every single thing you've talked about on stage, it was like a laundry list of things that I've been thinking about today, like the Uber thing.
Really?
Yeah. The Uber thing, the Facebook thing.
Quincy.
Fuck Southwest. But the Uber thing... I hate that too. They're like trying so hard to get. First of all, it's very hard to complain about a thing that a lot of people can't afford. And you literally.
I've made a sort of cottage industry out of that.
Sure. But you're also literally complaining about people opening too many doors for you.
I know. I should have called this segment like things I can't complain about, blah blah blah. But I wanted to change it up. But I mean, fuck it. You gotta own it. I'll, you know what I'm gonna do? I'm gonna find a good charity. I'm gonna start giving the fuck to it, and then I'm gonna complain about that. Something I can do to high road people. I can go like, hey, how many people have you fed this week?
Yeah, but I agree with you because I think they like try. They want to like try and talk. I was like, I'll give you 5 stars just for not talking to me. Like, don't make an effort. And I don't want to sound xenophobic, but
doesn't
you could cast Bond villains from the Uber drivers.
All their names are Gore.
Yes. Yeah.
Olgar.
Yeah.
Slobo Dan. I'm not joking. I had an Uber driver named Stubnorts.
Stubnorts?
Stub. S-T-U-B.
We gotta start this Tumblr blog before somebody else does. Like, Uber driver names. Yeah. Like, I take screen captures of them. I got Gore, Olgay. Olgay.
That's like,
who was a young, very handsome, straight guy.
I got a Tejas.
Tejas.
Oh, yeah, I've had Tejas.
But that's Lyft. Yeah. That's Lyft.
Olgay is pig Latin for a Bond villain. Stubnorts.
Stubnorts.
Stubnorts?
I couldn't tell if that was a last name or a Cher moniker.
Or a guy who's had a long day and he has one joy and is coming up with a hilarious new name every time somebody
every day.
Gets it.
There's a lot of what looks like Karen, but I think they would prefer you pronounce it Karen. It's like a guy.
Really?
I don't know if that's an Armenian
Are they all like Central, like Eastern European types?
There's a lot of Armenian, a lot of Eastern European, and I had this guy yesterday. His name was Edik, like Eric, but with a D instead of the R, because fuck everybody. And he was so sinister. He was like, you have to give me 5 star. Last week, my rating, they deactivated me. My rating was too low. And he kept asking me, like, how are you doing, my friend? Like, it was like, a torture case.
Every stoplight, he keeps looking over and he goes, just... ask me, do you expect me to talk? I'm not going to say it. I was just like, do you expect me to get you to your destination?
Yeah, no. Now I expect you to drive. No.
But speaking of which, that brings up an interesting point because I was also like, one of my other complaints about Uber, which I've now dropped, was that the whole appeal of this thing is that it's an app. It's not a cab. You hit a button, they come get you. They're like a drone, you know, like, and I kept complaining because every time I did it, bring, bring.
ring?
Hello, it's Goron. What address are you at? Yeah, and you do want to pick up a thing? Yeah, this is sounding a lot like a conversation between me and a cab driver at this point. And I was like, why do they have to do that? And then my friend Wade Randolph, Rick and Morty writer, said, you know why they do that? Because in New York recently, on New Year's Eve, now it's like, this is the thing about let's segue into this conversation. This brave new world with all the apps that are revolutionizing capitalism, they're also like kind of, I mean, they're a little unregulated. It's the Wild West, and there's crazy shit happening. It's like gangs in New York with the fire departments, like
intercepting calls.
I think it was Uber that had the blood on its hands. Uber did this to Lyft. They, on New Year's Eve, they had a bunch of people just order Lyfts and send them to remote locations where there was no passenger. So the only person getting fucked over is the driver who makes no money and now has all these canceled fares. And they just did this. This is what I heard. I don't know. Google it and correct me on Twitter.
I saw like a teaser for a piece on that in CNN, and I didn't get to see it, but there was a little hubbub about it.
So when the guy calls you and says, "Are you really there?" like that's not that's how I perceive it now.
I'm
like, "Yes, I am, buddy.
Right
I am.
Yeah,
I'm here, old guy.
Hello, Uber headquarters. I mean, Dan.
I'm always gonna be here, old guy. I'm never gonna go away.
Are you going to break my heart?
But I don't understand when I hear that story. I don't quite understand how the calling you and verifying
you could still be an
anything.
Imposter yeah
if you're enough of an asshole to take money from a web 3.0 limo service
still at the Empire State Building, swear to God.
Yeah, I'm at the World Trade Center.
Matter of fact, my foot's bleeding now. Like, why, you know, why not be,
hey, how come my driver never came? Your driver Stubnorts? Yeah, sure. It's what his name is.
Stubnorts. How was Stubnorts?
He was a nice fella.
I spell it for me again, Stub.
STUB, just like it sounds.
Stubnorts.
What is the most common spelling of Stubnorts?
I'm gonna look this up.
Is he Hungarian? What is that?
I don't know. We didn't have that.
Stubnorts.
Stubnorts. STUBNORTZ.
Fucking right on.
Stubnorts.
Stubnorts.
While I'm on that topic, though, about drivers getting fucked over because of this new convenient thing where we're all having guys open doors for us, just one more thing. This is how I offset my white people problems, like complaints, is by sticking up for the fucking man and saying, fuck the system, and before I go home to my mansion and jerk off into a laptop. There was an article about somebody went undercover and went and worked at Amazon at one of their warehouses.
Oh, I heard about this. Yeah,
And this is all secondhand. I don't read anything. I get all my news from someone in a writer's room who read something.
Yeah, and I just trust them.
Yeah. But they were talking about this article. This person goes undercover and works for a while at Amazon, and it describes it as being like this insane Orwellian prison where, because the technology now allows them to track their workers with laser precision GPS and hold them accountable to every second of their time, you have 30 seconds to make this delivery, like get this bin over to that bin, and if you every second over 30 seconds comes out of your pay or something, it's stuff that makes you wonder how could this possibly be fair. And I guess the answer is just because, well, who money's changing hands, and like, we're not.
Someone was telling me at Disney World or Disneyland. I know Amanda used to work there.
I did too for 13 years.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Somebody was working there, and they said that every day they rank every single employee in the theme park, and so you. But literally everyone.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
That's like an IMDb ranking where your star meter.
It's kind of like 12 Years a Slave a little bit. Like, that's what they did in that movie.
Wow. Yeah. What, they took him to Disneyland?
I stopped watching.
Sort of.
It ends well.
Yeah. It's a right call. It's a very small world. It's a cage.
Listen, 12 Years a Slave movie. I can't wait for it to get out of headlines so the comics stop making slave jokes.
Yeah, jeez.
I mean, I'm not jumping on you. I'm just saying, like, we're all in trouble here.
Oh, yeah.
We're in our riffing.
You know all four of us are going through ride puns for slavery, right?
I've got one from his, No Space Mountain.
All right.
I'm not doing it.
I'm not doing
it. I'll get in so much trouble.
I'm not doing it just because I can't think of one.
I've got five.
This is how we deal with trauma hundreds of years after we wouldn't have suffered through it anyway.
I would be racist. I just don't know how.
Have you guys been on the Underground Matterhorn? It saved a lot of people. A lot of Yetis were saved. I have four more. I'm going to piece them out throughout the show.
Okay.
I will say this. I changed my Facebook profile to like a comedian profile.
Here we go.
Friends to fans.
This is what I needed.
It ruined Facebook for me. Everything stopped working. Nobody emails me there anymore. My wall is fucked.
Because so your friends are like, fuck you.
Well, I don't even... It converted them, but now it's different. So it's not like a back and forth. It's like they can say stuff to me, but I can't really... It's weird. It's more like a bulletin board than like a thing that I can really...
But can you do two things where you're just like a regular guy or you have your Clark Kent...
You can limit your privacy settings down to only people that you say absolutely, and you don't have to allow the entire world in.
It split mine. I have two profiles, and I don't know what to do with either one because I had the one and I converted it, and now I have two, and I don't know if the other one is an old version of me or if it's someone else pretending to be me.
We gotta clean up this internet, man.
Yeah.
We got to get some kind of government to eliminate the neutrality of this thing.
By the way, that's crazy stuff.
We need to get a net neutrality guy. And Aaron has a friend who is passionate about this stuff. Eddie Geller, I think his name is. We gotta get some net neutrality people out here. I gotta get invested in that stuff too. I gotta grow up. I'm 41 years old. I gotta stop complaining about. I don't have to stop complaining about how much it hurts to jerk off and how hard it is to have doors open for me. But I have to add some responsibility to that.
We have jerk off questions. We have follow ups.
Hi, Matt Gourley, Newsweek magazine. Why does jerk hurt to jerk off? Follow up question: why am I asking this?
I was being hyperbolic and thinking of the most ridiculous thing that you can ever complain about would be how much it hurts to jerk off, because ostensibly the answer to the question would be that you jerked off so much.
I see.
I haven't experienced this since I was like 21.
Yeah.
Where it's just like Sunday afternoon and you're just like, more? All right.
Yeah.
All right.
I'd like to cede the rest of my time to my distinguished colleague.
Let's go till nothing comes out. You said you were jerking off into your laptop. Is that why Aaron got you a waterproof thing for your iPad?
Again, it's just, it's all hyperbolic language and...
Yeah, but many a truth is said in jest, Dan.
Well, I mean...
You're a racist, then.
No, oh, Disneyland shit. Is.
With their new that. Ride...
I don't have any more.
Shit. He said he had four more.
I mean, there was a Pirates of the Caribbean one that I backed off on because it got weird.
Lash Mountain.
Lash Mountain. Okay, now it's getting too dark. Too dark.
All right, that's it.
Wait, why is Disneyland ranking people like?
I wasn't aware of
just so. Well, this is what I heard. I don't know. Like Dan, I hear facts and then I take them to be true,
and then spread them and add to them. And
so just please cut out the stuff where I'm not sure about this. Just so that you see, like, oh, I'm only 135. I gotta get up top, and then there's certain people who are go-getters who are like higher up. So you like get a thing like you were 200 today. That's not good. Don't you want to be higher than that? Like that kind of stuff.
Do you know? Is it people voting for each other or?
No, it's because they can track like how much work you've done and all this stuff.
But I mean, how are they measuring and how are they comparing? Like the guy that sells the ostrich legs to the guy that's running the roller coaster.
Okay, I would have to go talk to the person who I don't even remember who it was. It could have been a dream I once had.
Yeah, and now, I don't remember this. They never like would come up to you and pin a little number on your chest.
Okay,
you can do better, Jim. Come on.
We should have a segment. People, I get corrected all the time. I say five horribly erroneous things and pass them off as
I made the mistake of looking on the internet and like you get corrected on every little bloody thing. We misspeak all the time.
Try doing a James Bond podcast. Those people do not let a thing go by.
What's it called again?
James Bonding.
James Bonding. Yeah. I can imagine they come after you with.
Actually, you should not try doing it.
But
James
I will
Bond
say this: there's another side to that culture. Like it's like this emerging internet age. I feel like Reddit is the represents it the most, like personality wise. You know, like we've talked about how every social platform has its own personality. Tumblr is a very like a passionate young lady, and Reddit is a very stoic guy in a Vulcan costume who's playing 3D chess with someone. I didn't mean to get gender specific there, but I'll hear about that on both of those platforms
in very different ways.
Yes, but one they'll both address it in their own way.
And Instagram is a cat.
Yeah, I'll say.
But
my account is. Yeah.
But Reddit has its like so for instance if I'm up here spouting nonsense and I go like, you know, did you hear what happened in Colombia? Oh, these five guys got chainsawed, but a cobra ate them, and Amazon was responsible, and blah blah blah. And I just blah blah blah, and I'm drunk, and I go home, and I sleep like a baby. I get up and look on Twitter, and people correct me, and there's a curator personality that has a higher sense of social and informational responsibility. These are good people. These are people who protect us historically from people like churches that are going to burn women at the stake and things like that. It's a logic, skepticism. Don't go off half cocked and like. However, and the other side of that is. This dumb Starbucks thing, I went to the Reddit thread discussing dumb Starbucks. It was like, it was eight pages of just a bunch of people not able to have fun with like the simplest thing in the world. Like, I don't know what's going on. I think their point is that privacy laws overlaps with. Well, that's not true. If they were making that point, then that wouldn't be a way to make that point. And I think if it's parody, that's an incorrect use of it. It's just everybody gathering around this thing and failing to. It's just a whatever it is. I don't know if it's Nathan for You or Banksy or whoever the fuck it is, but somebody's telling a joke. Somebody's just putting dumb in front of Starbucks, and that's basically it. You can have all levels of fun with that, but you definitely are never going to digest that with the enzymes of intellectual, logical discussion. And they actually missed out on something.
But I also feel like the correcting, even if it's not like that, like I do a video game podcast, and that I bet rivals James Bond.
Maybe even more.
We'll be like, oh, Super Mario 3D World on the Game Boy Advance, and 10 people like, actually, that was on Game Boy Color. Like, what is anybody gaining from that? I'm sorry we misspoke.
It's something that's written in the tweets. It's the tone, but
I
swear
that Goldberg correcting what I just said.
Goldberg is one of the he's like Cyber Christ. He brings he brings the phenomenon of getting corrected on Twitter into real life.
Can we call this show Cyber Christ and Stubnorts?
Cyber Christ Stubnorts.
Cyber Christ and Stubnorts, and then we have to actually write a play and for our 100th upcoming show. We're going to do a live play called Cyber Christ and Stubnorts.
It'll be
real. Okay. What if we could track down Stubnorts? Like, is there a way to request a driver or something on Uber?
I don't know.
You can't request a specific one. Because that's the thing is like, by the way, this happened once.
But this was this in is the city. Sorry, go ahead.
Uber thing. Emily got a person. Emily and I were hanging out. She got an Uber driver. He dropped her home. He called her, talked to her, and then she texted me like, I'm home. The door's unlocked to me, but she, by mistake, texted the Uber driver, and she noticed, and she said, oh, sorry, not meant for you. And he said, no, I like.
In our top story, two straight weeks, the Uber bandit is still at large. Women are found.
No, I like his Borat.
He said, no, I like. And he knows where she lives.
Oh, she locked the door.
From then on out. Yeah.
My cackle is too non-sympathetic. I'm laughing at the whatever at the terror.
That is a bummer.
Yeah, it's a real bummer. Yeah.
Because this might all be bullshit too, and this might have been a smear campaign. But wasn't that in the very early days of Uber there was some sexual harassing going on or something? Or Rapes?
That's worse.
I've never seen an Uber driver with less than a 4.5.
No,
you
have
to give them lower than that if that happened to you, right?
I'd reckon.
What is a rape star rating these days?
I'm out.
I'm not allowed to.
It's just you guys.
there's a part of the system, and this is another thing that kind of like well, is this is for the consumer's benefit, but then what kind of terror are we creating among the worker? The way it works, I'm told, is that if they drop below a 4.5,
that's
or
what happened
like that,
to Edic.
They can't get no Uber business no more ever
they got
again.
Deactivated.
They're out of the club. And so they're terrified, which is nice.
That's why they're opening
all of
your
us
door.
Who have ever taken a cab over the last 30 years. It's a nice little slipper to put your foot in for a change of pace. A driver coming to pick you up who's a little frightened that he might not satisfy you with your driving experience. It's a welcome change. But then you kind of over time you're kind of like, well, Jesus Christ, what is this? You know, I feel bad. I never give anyone less than a 5. Now I feel like that's the new tip, because I'm like, well, he kind of was a 4, but what am I doing? Who am I? Like, what am I Simon Cowell? So what do I know about driving? Fucking 5. You tried. You gave it your shot. Anyways, I'm done talking.
Yeah. So the only rating you can give them is either a 5
or
a rating that would get them fired.
Yeah.
That's the second highest rating you can give them.
Well, I
know it's average.
Yeah, in a theoretical sense, yeah, I guess we need a mathematician to come up here but you would be giving them a number that if everyone else gave them that number, they would be gone.
Yeah.
It kind of doesn't. But I guess they figured that into their algorithm that people are going to tend to give you a 5.
But I would not want to give a number to someone that would get them fired. Like that's,
no,
so that's
God,
why
no.
You give them 5s.
Well, that's I've had horrible people wait on me in restaurants. We've all had. They've been busy. They've been bad people.
Sure.
They've been bad at their job. I've never crossed a threshold where I'm like, here's your dollar for your tip. Like I always just like I just go okay. Because I've seen too many goddamn monologues and Reservoir Dogs and all this shit about, you know, that it's part, they get taxed and all this stuff and it's hard for them. And it I'm not going to carry that relationship into finance. So I'm tipping you 20%, even though you suck. And I just hate you because you suck. But here's your 20%. And it becomes systematized. That's to say, like, here's your 5 stars. You were 10 minutes late. And boy, I'm really on a tear about something.
I'm not like blowing anybody's mind by saying, like we've talked about before, like you have a lot of instant crisis sensation when you're talking with, when you're dealing with strangers or even with people that aren't strangers.
Yeah.
But to the extent that somebody is a stranger and there is a transaction that has to happen.
Right. And I talked about this on Ali Georgia Slumber Party when I went on that. This is my Stan Lee rectangle in the upper panel saying, check out that issue of Hulk. You know, he fought the Submariner. That's why he's calling him Fish Face. They've met before. I explain it some more, Dan.
Prince Namor.
you just
that's the name of the guy. I'm sorry. Continue.
What?
Can I leave?
I know his name is Prince Namor. I'm offended, but
no.
Anyways,
actually, it's Prince Namor.
I'm at my house in Las Feliz. I order an Uber. It's like ordering honey in a beehive. There's a lot of black cars in Las Feliz. There's a lot of limo drivers living in my neighborhood, and if one of them's bad, he's not only my neighbor, but he's bad, and I'm stuck in a horrible position.
He has your credit card information. He knows where you live.
I don't think. Yeah, I don't extend it even way before that. I don't think he's gonna knife my dog or steal money from my electronically. I don't think it's like hackers or something. I'm just saying, like, I can't socially. I can't. I'm gonna see him again.
Yeah.
Does he know that I gave him
They do know.
Weighing his life on ISIS's scales. I don't know.
You know,
I'm trying
they
to
rate
get Egyptian.
You too. They rate you too.
Do they?
Yeah, you get a rating too.
So will they not pick you up after a while?
Yeah, if they don't, they could see like, nah, I don't want this person. They're only a 4.5.
Yeah,
is this your Disney thing again? Can you back this up?
This is what one of the Stubnorts has told me.
One of them?
Yeah, you know those people.
If you're a person listening out there in podcast land and you don't know what dumb Starbucks is and your city's not big enough to have Uber and you don't know who Ben Vereen is, I'm very sorry. But fuck you. We're on like our 89th episode of free entertainment, you fucking asshole, Michael. Just keep chopping your carrots, you little bitch.
Yeah.
You'll fucking get over it next week.
There's a guy named Michael who didn't get any of the jokes, who's eating carrots listening to this, and you just blew his mind.
We were talking about that. Like, if you just took that one...
Yeah.
Like if you have a TV show on basic cable, and you just... I think we were talking about that in the Rick and Morty's room. Or
Faith healers do that.
Where you just look out at the camera and just go, hey, Todd. That's what I was... Sorry. We were talking about having Rick, like, just look at the camera at one point and go, because we were talking about how people all over Reddit were... There was a recent episode of Rick and Morty where there was so many people that were recommending you gotta watch Rick and Morty, but you gotta get high, man. You gotta get high. And then we did this episode where Morty ends up burying his dead self from another timeline in the backyard so it takes place, and Mazzy Star's Look On Down from the Bridge is playing as an MOS shot of him walking through his house observing a life that does not belong to him but that no one will ever notice that he's intruded on. And it was amazing the amount of people over the internet were like, okay, don't get high. So I told you to get high when you watch a show, man. I'm telling you not to get high.
My friend's dead, okay?
So we were joking about how we were like Rick would be talking in a scene. He's like, I'm telling you, Morty, it's, we gotta go to a different dimension, Morty, and it's gonna be fucked up. I don't recommend you get high, Todd Johnson. And just look at the camera. And then it's just like ride that statistical, like, okay, there's 2 million people maybe watching. Yeah. And it's like, Todd Johnson eating your peas. Just fuck him up forever.
I watch a lot of religious television late at night, and the faith healers on there, it's just good. There's no better TV, exception included. They will do things like the faith healer will look at the camera and say, "There's a woman named Marjorie out there, and she has a type of lung cancer, and I'm going to focus on her right now." And he wins either way.
Of course,
he either falls
that.
On a Marjorie that has lung cancer, or everybody out there is believing that there's a
That's like cold reading with no risk. That's cheating. Yeah, I never even thought about that.
It's awful.
Of course you can do that. Though they used to do that on like Romper Room. My mom told me about that. She said like there would be like a magnifying glass that they would pick up and look through it, and they'd go,
I see Lisa.
I can see Tony. Tony, stop picking on your sister. So I guess that's nothing new until you start fucking charging for it.
Who's the guy who was on TV and it was like crossing the bridge or something like that? Crossing over.
John Edwards?
Yeah, and he would be like, I can send someone. Oh, he's here. His name starts with a T.
Yeah.
And I always imagine, like, the ghosts are there, but they don't even want to talk to these assholes, you know? They're like, what's your name? It's something with a T, you douchebag. I was listening to the radio the other day, and someone was, it was a numerologist on, and this is going to sort of reveal maybe how close-minded I am, but he was talking about, like, if you take your birth date and you multiply it by this and this, and I got so angry listening to this guy.
That's not close-minded. That's just being sensible.
Not as close-minded as someone that listens to the radio.
I had to drive a lot.
Give your computer a chance. It's got radio emulators on it.
It's got everything.
He's just mad at you because it sounds smart, Camille.
I just didn't get it. It just bugged me so much.
That stuff drives me crazy.
Because I do think these psychics are like, they're preying on people who are in moments of weakness.
Right.
That's what they do.
I think that's a really interesting point because it's like, guys in my position, so if somebody ever tells me I'm not allowed to, that I have some accountability, when someone tweets at me and says like, you made a polio joke on your show last night, and you need to know, and I'm offended and all this stuff, my instant reaction is to go fuck yourself, you're watching TV wrong, you don't take it so seriously and all this stuff. But I want people to care about what I'm putting out there, and if there is a responsibility. Norman Lear knew that. Like he he's an example of somebody that took that seriously, said like, you know what? I'm making a sitcom. I can keep doing stuff the same way, or I could make a sitcom for black people. Like, because I want to, not because I see a huge profit in it, but because it's something seems wrong with what's being presented on television. And we're shaping people's brains as they're watching it. And today's 3-year-old is tomorrow's 40-year-old, and they're all watching TV and they're all learning from it. And it's like you high road that when people are telling you what to do and you want to fall back on like, you can't tell me what to do, freedom of speech and all that stuff, but then you also like capitalize from it.
Yeah, but also sometimes like you have to take every one of those instances at for what it is. So I do this podcast, and in the intro, there was one time I had hiccups. This was a couple of weeks ago. It was a 5-minute thing, and I thought it was a funny thing. I had hiccups, and I just did a 5-minute thing. This one guy got really, really angry at me. He got really, really angry at me, and he kept like posting, and people were like, "What the fuck is wrong with you?" He kept posting like, "It's his responsibility to not have hiccups when he's podcasting." I was like, "Go fuck yourself!"
He thought you were being unprofessional, like that.
You should have held off recording until you're done.
He said it grossed him out. It's fucking hiccups.
Well, I'm definitely not taking that guy's side, but it's also like there are people who like if you the. Sound of a fingernail being clipped might cause them to.
But
want
they should
to vomit.
Understand that then that that's
well
their
yeah that they bear yeah. that burden. Yeah, I have to live in a world where apparently everyone but me can't wait to see a close up of a fucking hypodermic needle go into a goddamn arm every single time on every TV show or movie. Anytime there's a remote excuse to do it, they fucking love it. I want to vomit. I can't stand needles going into veins.
You don't like fingers being cut too, right? You have a thing
fingers being cut. Does that come up a lot?
Not as well. There's that. What are you doing? Why are you? It's just a scar. It's the blood coming out of the finger. That Dan Aykroyd sketch where he's Julia Childs and it's spurting.
You're talking like a severing kind of. Thing?
I can't handle it. It'll ruin my day. And I do accept that. I go, something wrong with me because everyone else is laughing. So. But does a fucking like every movie? Goddamn! If it involves heroin, if it's fucking Dream On, and he goes and gets a flu shot, why do you have to show it? Yeah. Why do you have to cut? I know it's coming. I'm conditioned to know it's coming, and I cover my eyes like a baby.
When you give blood, are you dying?
I turn my head. I start to sweat, and I go. And the nurses always go, "Are you okay?" Because I'm having plasma sucked out of my body, siphoned out of my body. I'm freaking out talking about it. I don't like going to the doctor. I don't want to be Jim Henson. I don't want to die. So I force myself to go. But I can't.
Did a doctor kill Jim Henson?
No. He didn't go. If I didn't know that that was possible, that you could just die from not fucking going, that I would just be like, fine. I feel fine. It's just a cold or whatever. But I go, and they take that fucking cuff and they inflate it. I learned in health class. I know what's happening. They're collapsing the walls of your artery. That's how they take your blood pressure. They inflate that cuff until the walls of your artery collapse. And then they measure the amount that they have to release it until it re-inflates, allowing blood, your viscera, to flow back through your own arm. And they record that as a number.
We're like, yes.
I always have, like, I have very low blood pressure, like, genetically, but I have normal blood pressure because the act of taking my blood pressure makes me think I'm going to die. I start sweating. They go, "Are you all right?" And I go, "Just do it. Just fucking do it." And they get off on the fucking... They love doing it. I want, it would be so easy to torture me. You could torture me by making me better. Al-Qaeda could just strap me to a chair, but we're concerned about you. You seem peaked. We're gonna take your blood pressure. But I'll give you the blueprints to the White House. Don't take my blood pressure. I'm gonna freak out. The taking of blood, I can only get through by pretending in my head, and I'm not being hyperbolic, I imagine in my head that precisely that I'm being interrogated by an enemy, like that there is an empire, that I'm part of a rebellion, and they're trying to get me to tell them.
Todd Johnson, don't get high for this podcast right now.
I have to imagine in my head that I'm somehow, that if I just don't yell out like I give up and run, that I'm a hero. I have to like reduce it to that like stuff so I just.
How do you make it through the afternoon, man? That's the worst.
I don't go to the doctor every afternoon.
You're living on a razor's edge. Stakes are so high.
Everybody's got their things, man. Mine is having fucking fluid siphoned out of my body through a tube by a bureaucrat so it can be sent to a lab. That's me. That's mine.
Not anymore.
Siphon. You know, they siphon it out of your body.
I know.
They suck it, and it starts to come out, and then it goes into... This is the part where Jeff goes, I love to give blood. I love it. I love to watch it. I know this about him.
Siphon is my favorite word.
Technically, no, it's not siphoning. It's more of a suction, but...
he loves giving blood. He loves to watch it, but
it's so weird that when it happens, I have to watch it because it's so fucking crazy.
Also,
I love how it's made and how do they do it and those kind of shows. Like, yeah, watching how they make those needles, that's fucking fascinating.
Ah.
And then they go, what if we took a little pointy tube and put it in your fucking body? And then your fucking stuff comes out. It's awesome. I mean, it's freaky, but like, you have to look at it. It's like, I don't want to not see that. That's crazy.
Yeah, I never look. I always look away.
And then I just can't. I gotta lay there. And they're like, are you all right? I'm like, I know the last half of that statement is, are you a pussy? Like, I the answer is yes about this. But I'll tell you one thing. If you tell me what I can't write in my TV show, I'll fucking tell you to fuck off. I'm strong that way.
People at home should know that Dan has slowly been taking his clothes off while he's been on this rant.
Because it's making me lose weight thinking about this.
You actually, I'm not joking. You look a little pale and a little bit like a little sweaty.
You know what? We should maybe take your blood pressure, make sure you're okay.
Is there a doctor in the house?
He's dead.
I am really, when I had that, you know who we should have as a guest, because she came to the show and she talked to me after the show. The lady that gave that anesthetized me for my endoscopy. You guys weren't as impressed by that.
Janice?
No, it's just some, I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Because
believe me, I had to go into a whole weird state of denial about having my first actual procedure done. I had never been knocked out.
So did you get general anesthesia?
I got specific to me.
Yeah, he didn't get everyone in L.A. anesthetized.
No, did you get the actual military officer general anesthesia? He comes in and he...
No, I can't afford that.
You get corporal aspirin.
Corporal aspirin?
I had my tonsils out, and I was going under, and they put me on anesthesia, and it wasn't the medical process I was afraid of. I was in a hospital where I didn't trust them if while I was under something went wrong, like an earthquake.
Right.
Already it seemed like chaos. There was a woman across the way in her bed going, you're gonna love this.
Another patient. What's the difference between these places and a DMV?
Exactly.
They don't know what they're doing.
There's no difference.
Years of schooling.
Okay,
there is no difference. A couple years.
I would say, at least two more years than the DMV.
Big deal. You know what I did with the last 2 years? Jack shit. You can waste 2 years, man.
Not if you're in medical school. You got to fucking get shit done.
You can't add 2 years to the lady at the DMV and tell me that if my heart stops during my endoscopy, they tell you, they make you sign all these forms.
All the forms say,
if you start to choke to death on the tube, you have to sign all this stuff because
they can open up your chest and pull your lungs out.
That sounds expensive. That sounds like there's overhead involved. You're signing the form so that your loved ones can't sue them when you die. That's why
being in a hospital during passed out during an earthquake is the safest place to be.
They ditch you. Don't.
they took an oath that says they can't ditch you if you're.
They don't give a fuck.
No,
they
no.
Unless you have insurance.
No. You get your surgeries done in Orange County. Otherwise, don't go there. Because I was in a hospital in Torrance, and it just felt like it was gonna die. The hospital felt sick.
That oath don't hold up to no earthquake, man.
No. I'm saying it would be better.
Walking Dead. You know how that hospital was filled with people.
Yeah, did you see Walking Dead? Did you see the documentary Walking Dead?
They bailed, bro. They bailed. They all took... There were no doctor zombies in Walking Dead when he wakes up in the hospital. There's no doctor with a stethoscope going, I want to listen to your heart.
Because he only treats zombies, though. Yeah. That's why.
Did I say on the show already about when I, like a year or two ago, I had all four of my wisdom teeth taken out? Did I already talk about this? And I woke up, and the doctor was gone. And they said beforehand, do you want to be under local anesthesia or general anesthesia? I said, I don't want to be in the same country. Give me all you got.
And that happened to me last year, too. Go ahead.
So I knew that one of them was really impacted and going to be trouble, but so I woke up fine. They say kind of dress loose, don't wear certain kinds of clothes, don't wear tight clothes, don't wear this or that, because they might have to actually physically move you around a little bit to get you in some sort of hammerlock hole to get the shit out. And so I woke up, the doctor's gone, his assistant, this woman was in there, and I said, how did it go? And she's like, it was okay. I'm like, was it hard? And she's like, yeah, it was a struggle. And I'm like, how bad? And she was like, it was hammer and tongs, man. It was like, she showed me my teeth.
Yeah. Were they on her necklace?
There's just a Turkish World War II soldier comes out of the shadows. He's wearing your teeth.
It was, they didn't look like teeth. I'll say that much. Those were in my head for how long?
That says more about you than them.
I hadn't gone to the dentist in a long time, but three were fine. I thought one was laying sideways. So that one, they really had to get in there with some fucking Byzantine shit. And fucking really.
Do you remember when I had I'm going to do this now.
Okay.
No.
Okay. Just real quick though, I this is not a joke. I had defense wounds on my wrists, and my belt was off.
Okay, one of those.
My belt
is
was
weird.
Not, it was not a belt that you buckle. It was not a buckly belt. It was one that kind of snap in. You know, it just wouldn't take a whole lot. I'm like, what? Well, she's like, he really had to like. I think there was a point.
You had to really suck your dick.
My shirt was all fucked up. There were wrinkles like Columbo could tell if a bed has been slept in there. I could tell there had been a foot on my chest. Like he was on me and bringing out the fucking heavy artillery. And the only way to make a tooth in that many pieces is to get in there with just absolute oh man. And then he didn't tell me. He told me during the X-rays, he goes, one of your roots, because you're so old now, you should have had this done when you're 18. Now that you're 36 or 7 or 8 or whatever I was, you have to, the root grew up, your upper one, it's right up to the edge of the sinus wall, which is a very thin bone.
Oh, boy.
A lot of people have this dentist stuff. That's the thing.
So he said, he's like, and I'm not that squeamish about this. I didn't like the sound of this, but... he was like, it's possible that when I take it out, it might perforate the bone there. There might be a little tiny hole in there. If it is, it'll heal up. It'll take longer to heal than the teeth. But he goes, this is some paperwork on if it happens, probably won't. And you're healthy enough to where the bone will regenerate and it'll take a month if it does happen, but don't worry about it too much. So I get home. I'm on every sort of medication, and I was just absolutely shit-canned on whatever they had given me. And my friend drove me home, and I'm reading my paperwork, and I'm changing the gauze, and I get some broth or whatever I'm eating for my first meal, and you're not allowed to swish your mouth or anything. And so I kind of leaned forward, and I was in the sink. I had a mouthful of soup, and I leaned forward, and my soup came out of my nose. Because there was a little hole in the top of my mouth. And I called him up in the middle, what the fuck is going on?
But you're the guy that can blow air out his eyeballs, too.
I can't anymore.
Why?
Oh, because the hole is gone.
No.
Oh, you lost.
No. Oh. I told him about that. I also, you know what else is gone? I took out my fucking wisdom teeth. I used to make a dolphin sound that would wipe you out.
I remember that. little
can't do it now. Dolphin sound gone. I would have thought about that if I had a chance. But also, the thing did heal up, but for a couple of days, he's like, oh, so just here's the thing. Don't blow your nose and do not sneeze for a month. I'm like, any more involuntary shit that I should know about?
No breathing.
He's like, if you have to sneeze, do it with your mouth as wide open as possible.
What does that look like?
That's like the first.
Ha ha! Ha ha! Ha ha!
It sounds like the first act of Speed. Like somebody that's got a vendetta against you has rigged your head.
Yeah. I'm like, well, look, I also want to talk about the fact that I have what are consistent with defense wounds on my forearms from whatever fucking crisis went down in your office.
All right, somebody's got to be the bad guy so that we can get some good we can move on to the good stuff.
Well, I cut Matt off real quick.
No, I think he was next, but mine's not important. I see.
No, you go ahead. That's like a Mount Rushmore of deferral.
Yeah.
No. Go ahead. We should bring. Shouldn't we?
Let's get Spencer out of here. Spencer Crittenden, everybody.
Let's get this sausage party continued.
I need to clear something up. When you sneeze and turn it into a yell, it sounds like
because there's no chew.
Yeah, it sounds really awesome, actually. Like you're like a super Saiyan or something.
Why do you know that?
Because I've done it before. It's really funny.
Why'd you have to do it?
Because it's just, you know, sneezing is so monotonous if you're just doing it the same way.
Oh, yeah, I know. Yeah. I'm because so over the way I sneeze. Yeah,
I know, right?
He's a life hacker.
Yeah. It is because you when you sneeze, you're taught to condense it. But if you really just stand in a field and let it go, it's something cathartic.
You sound like a polar bear.
I almost always stifle my sneezes perfectly. I'll go like that.
Yeah. I feel like that must be bad for you.
I don't care.
It goes into your brain. The snot goes into your brain. Don't look it up.
I mean, I don't think that, but I just feel like...
That's what I was told as a kid. That's definitely not true.
Well, they say, like, you know, antiperspirant, it's bad for you. It's blocking your sweat glands with, you know, what's the difference between that and stifling a sneeze? I ask you. Don't answer. Move on. Spencer, how's life at home?
I just got back. I saw my cat again. It was nice. We were at Sketchfest not too long ago.
Oh yeah.
Who takes care of your cat while you're out of town?
I got Jackson, who's my roommate, to feed him.
Spencer, I don't see him around here. He used to come to the shows a lot. Like, how do you know he's a good cat sitter?
I don't know. I took all the guesswork out of it. I measured out the food and put them in bags and taped them above the cat bowl, and then I labeled them with times and dates. Yeah. Because
I'll bet you $10 the hour before your flight came back.
They were all going in the toilet. Yeah.
Empty bag time.
Yeah, it's like a cop breaking down the door of a drug dealer. He's pouring it down all down the toilet.
I mean, she was still alive, so I'm good.
Do you fly a lot, Spencer?
I don't fly none. Before I worked at Apple, I worked at a small bookstore, and occasionally, like two or three times a year, I'd go and fly out to book conferences, which are kind of like Comic Cons, just for random books.
It was a chance to see a big bookstore.
Yeah.
Would people dress up as their favorite books?
But the actual book.
Yeah.
I don't want to dogpile on everything you say, but was it a? Do they sell small books or is the store small?
They did both.
Is it like pamphlets and booklets or?
Yeah, and short stories.
All right. Continue until you say another combination of words that my Asperger's can jump on.
But I would just go and they'd sell books for cheap because it'd be like publishers trying to get down their stocks. And I'd just go and buy like several booths and I'd, get them all packed up and shipped back to the main office.
Oh, so you would go buy them at fairs and then sell them for a profit at your small book store.
Was there like a community of people that did this? Did you all end up at the same TGI Fridays? Like at the end of the night?
Not that I knew. I'm sure if I did it for long enough, there would be. But I think they're all enemies. It's like, you know, Pawn Stars, where it's just a bunch of trashy people selling garbage. Like, and they're just elbowing each other for like a porcelain duck. But I mean, it's if you're making a living off of selling like reclaimed stuff, I don't know guys.
I don't love Pawn Stars because I always feel like the people who are selling the stuff are clearly in need. Like, they're in a bad place. They're selling their shit. And then these guys are, like, talking to the camera, like, I got it for $300. I can go sell it for $4,000. Like, and these are clearly rich people. It always bugs me that it takes the side of the people who are clearly the big bad guy.
And it's really not adding value to anything. I don't think, I'm sure I'm wrong, but, I mean, you could be like a... building a bridge.
Is it supposed to be? I've seen it like flipping through the your TV channel guide thing. I've never watched it. Is it supposed to be? I'm just realizing now. Is it supposed to be a play like on Porn Stars?
Yep.
Yeah.
Oh,
dumb.
Oh.
Dumb that I didn't get that, but still dumb.
Yeah, that's a bold stance.
Yeah.
Porn stars, porn is the only industry, I think, where every single performer is a star right when you start. Right?
That's nice. That's nice.
It's nice.
Chekhov
like
stars.
Yeah.
It doesn't have the same ring.
Well, I mean, what about amateurs, right?
Right.
Aren't they still just amateur porn stars?
Yeah, they're amateur porn stars.
Whoa.
They're on the pro-am.
Sure.
Yeah, you're either not a nothing, or you do one porn, and then you're a porn star. It's
great. I think there's some famous old actor like Clint Eastwood or someone like that. I was like, how come porn stars? Like, wait, there's no porn like walk-ons or porn extras. Like, some actor was actually saying in an interview. That's stupid. Like
there are
you
porn
gotta earn
extras.
Stardom.
There's porn extras.
Yeah. I knew
not
a producer.
A joke.
Oh, sorry.
That's just not a joke. Not being funny.
No,
yeah,
it's true.
But you said it with an ominousness that freaked me out.
The truth can be ominous.
There are no small parts in porn. Only small people.
Definitely no small parts.
There was a producer I talked to once who got really mad at one point, went off on this rant about how, do you ever notice that it's always the best boy or the key grip that has the funny nickname in the credits? It's like, fuck you! It's like, Kurt Russell's in this movie. Why is the guy pointing the light at him? He's like, oh, he's the Terminator. Fuck you! He's like, went off on him. That was kind of funny.
Yeah.
It was funny how mad he was. It was funny. I'm obviously pro-labor if you rewind this podcast and listen to it. Clearly.
Yeah.
I think it's great that the best boy should have a funny nickname.
Like Stubnorts.
And also...
Kurt Make yourself known to us, Stubnorts. Listen to... Hear me, Stubnorts. Hear me.
Stubnorts, can you hear me?
Find me.
That's his first name.
Yeah, it is, because they all go by their first names. Yeah.
His last name is Dan.
Stubnorts Dan. Get in your Chrysler LeBaron and drive to me.
Oh, God. He's like the fucking golden ticket of Uber drivers now. Yeah. Every time
somebody gets him.
Holy shit, I got Stubnorts. Yeah, that's amazing. If he gets Stubnorts.
Yeah, if anybody gets Stubnorts, tweet that shit.
Screen grab.
Yeah, take a picture. Oh, I wish I had.
I'm gonna screen grab all the Uber drivers now, and I'm gonna get on this.
Is that thing. Not a Tumblr? It's gotta be.
I think we're the guys to start it.
Yeah.
We're the playboys that are jetting around in Ubers.
I followed this weird Tumblr the other day called And Englishmen. Has anybody heard of this? Okay, so it's just a bunch of tweety, like Roger Moore Englishmen. And then I think it's called And Englishmen because at one point, every 3 days, there'll just be a naked black lady. And I think what they mean is like... Naked black lady, oh, and Englishman. But consistently, every couple of days.
Wait, who's it for, most of all?
I don't know. Apparently me, and then me again when you really find out. Yeah, you learn something.
I don't know. Is that a cleaning service? What are you talking about?
It's a Tumblr.
Oh, and it's just...
It's called And Englishman, and you think you're getting just tweeds and equestrian people.
Don't
ask me why.
That's your afternoon.
Oh, because the guy, so he started by calling an Englishman, and then he was like, yeah, but I really like this naked black lady, and then someone wrote in and said, like, you know, you really...
Actually, that's not an Englishman.
There's there's a Twitter account called Coffee Dad. Do you guys follow it? It's a Coffee Dad. It was just a guy holding a coffee, older man, and for 3 months, it's just him getting another cup of coffee, hot cup of coffee, cup of joe. It's that time of the day.
He can't use hashtags, right?
Yeah, for 3 months, and then one tweet was, every time I close my eyes, I smell your hair. I miss you, my son. And then 3 more months of going to get coffee, time to get coffee, and then like I'll never forgive myself.
Is that just Dana Gould being funny on Twitter? Or?
It's somebody being funny, but it's amazing because it's 3 months of groundwork every day for like a payoff for so few people.
How is that discovered? Like
I don't know.
You got to stick with that for 3 months.
Three months.
What's for sale for you for that first 3 months?
They're short. It's just like. hashtag having space coffee. It's like just a, he's like a middle-aged guy who doesn't know what Twitter is and just likes coffee a whole bunch. It's kind of amusing.
Right. Yeah, until he talks and about his Sunday.
I'm saying, like, were you following them that before that became a funny thing to go
no,
look at?
Oh, no, okay. I followed it when after the first.
After the denouement.
All right.
Speaking of denouements, let's do some Dungeons & Dragons.
What's that supposed to mean?
I don't know. That's French.
I do like that a guy named Kumail Nanjiani is making fun of people for having weird names for an hour.
Yeah. The hunter has become the hunted.
Yeah.
Or vice
Cables
versa.
Have turned, Stub Nord.
Yes. There's a new sheriff in town, and his name is slightly less weird than yours.
But you have a weird name, but it's like a beautiful starburst roller coaster. Like it doesn't. There's no speed bumps on it.
Oh, yeah. Kumail Nanjiani.
It's like water trickling over polished stone.
Yeah. That's what. What does it mean? Does that mean that?
Water? Yeah. It really actually does mean it water over polished stone.
It loosely translates to Stubnorts.
No translation for Stubnorts. Yeah. It's like Schadenfreude. Yeah.
This character sheet's for Matt.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
Kamea, one of my deep regrets in life is that I've tried, because I once in a while, if I'm telling a story that involves somebody, I'll try to do it like a mild impression of them, not to like mock them or because I'm so good at impressions, but you just try to kind of do the voice. I wish I could do your voice because your voice is delightful and I can't get anywhere close. And when I kind of come close, I'm doing it way wrong and it's offensive.
It's not offensive.
I just can't get there's the lilts of the voice that I can't quite do. Like, give me something to say to practice. Like, give me a word to practice on so I can like start honing my Kumail impression.
What's a good word that would be
anything
that I can't.
Can't.
I can't. Yeah, see, I can't do something.
Can't. Yeah, I can't do something.
I can't dance. I can't dance. Yeah. No, see, no. No, I go a little bit like Punjab.
Yeah, little Apu, buddy.
Yeah, little, yeah.
You're getting a little.
Believe me. It's,
go for it.
It's not willful. If I could talk like that, I'd never stop. All right, Spencer.
Yeah.
Start talking.
Oh. Last time on Harmontown, the party was in dire straits, chained by their very souls and in the clutches of undead bureaucrats. After the Bone Sages of Tormod Tor enacted the mysterious rites of Telem Varna, they began the proceedings by shouting and asking for the guilty party to reveal themselves. Immediately, Mulrain Sidana, suffering from a rash of poor life decisions, came forward, confusing and bewildering all. Quark struggled against his chains and managed to sever his ties, but that only began a countdown to the total eradication of his very soul.
That's a bad idea.
I keep saying very souls in this thing. With their very souls captive in their muscle on a death timer, how would they escape the rites of Telem Varna and their own collective death witch? Witch? Death? Collective death wish. Find out, blah, blah, on the next, blah, blah, yeah. So,
you guys hungry? I could really go for a nice collective death witch, right?
Really?
top of the show, bottom of the D&D, top of the D&D show notes. Quark, you're still about 10 minutes from dying. Sharpie, you're a chained cloud of gas.
Oh, right. Thank you.
So, he is a cloud of gas?
Yeah. He turned into one.
On purpose?
Yeah, yeah.
You don't turn into a cloud of gas on accident.
No, but was it somebody else hexed him, or
he was trying to get out of his soul chains.
And I had these soul chains that go into our bodies. I ripped it out and felt like my soul was leaving, so I put them back in, and then I tried to just sever the thing, and then they're kind of just retreating into my body like a fuse, and I've got about 10 minutes or so before something probably life-ending happens.
What's Chris DeBerg doing?
You're also chained by the soul.
Okay.
So, yeah, you guys are all in this, all up in this, you know, broken dead church surrounded by all these hooded undead dudes. There's the Bone Sages, you know, Tor, Mod, and Second Tor. Second Tor speaks, since the accused has already made a mockery of our law, we will appoint a special defendant for your shackling. Of course, this means that Lenev will be granted power of special persecutor in return. Bring out the special defendant. Special defendant.
Hi, I'm Skeleton Gary, and I will fight for you. I'm from the law firm of Femer, Falangi, and Shapiro.
femur, phalange, and Shapiro.
The only cage you're going to see is my rib cage. When you're buying me drinks and the beer is flowing through it because we've won our case, let's fight for you.
Oh, this is great.
So he's our lawyer?
Yes. Yes, he is. I will convene a brief recess if you want to catch him up on any trial notes or anything that you might want him to know.
Yeah, anything you want to disclose to me would be of service.
Okay. I have an evil demon inside of me.
Check.
I am a short barbarian gnome who has 10 minutes to live.
Yeah, all right.
This whole thing got started because I'm an alcoholic who's given to rageaholism, and I perceived a threat when...
Okay, now talk about your character.
That's not really... I mean, come on.
Good, this rapport, we can use this. People are going to like this. Good.
I perceived a threat when this Lenev guy, we said, are you cool? Are you our friend? And he said, yeah, I am. We said, how do we know? And he said, well, I'm not eating your face. I thought that was a threat.
I see.
I thought that meant that if we stepped over the line, I thought that was him saying, I'll eat your face if I stop liking you.
Yeah, we got off on the wrong foot with Lenev, and now things are bad.
So wait, he said if you thought he said if you cross a line, he's going to end you, and so you decided to cross the line?
Preemptively in self-defense. We'll handle this.
What? Okay. What right does any being have to draw those kinds of lines?
Can we leave that fucking discussion? I've got 10 minutes to live. We've been through that.
Well, this could be the crux of his case. That's why we're here. What do you think Lenev's going to be talking about out there?
It's all a big misunderstanding. We didn't mean to kill the whole village.
Also, we
Come
made
again?
Several overtures, several friendly overtures as he got mad time right. and time again. We extended friendliness to him. He took us back to this place, and after... It was clearly established that we were friendly. He then announced that we were bad people, and that's why we're soul shackled. Because believe me, I wouldn't be here.
Do you know anything about, Larry, do you know anything about the rites of Telem Varna?
That's what I did my thesis on. Now, I don't want to worry you. This is my first case. I was a boat repairman for, I don't know, 20 years. And I did law as a hobby. I'm a hobbyist lawyer. But go team. We're going to
do
this.
So your day job is still repairing boats?
Well, I don't get paid for it anymore. I was fired.
Why?
My boats would sink.
Well, don't sink this boat. No,
wouldn't happen. Right.
Recess is over. Right. Recess is over.
Oh.
Recess is over. Say the three bone sages one at a time. We shall proceed now. Special persecutor, speak. Lenev.
I don't know if you can hear, but every time you say persecutor instead of prosecutor, Adam Goldberg corrects you from the audience.
Yeah, it's like an old cartoon when I was a kid gag. I'd give credit if I knew what it was. Anyway.
I just wanted to point it out so it doesn't happen all night.
Lenev, he addresses this circle of hooded figures kind of standing around you guys. He says, gentlemen, you no doubt remember how we all came together to stave off the Dark Admiral's demonic sorcerers, as well as how you rallied with me to break the siege of the Frost Giants and their necromantic king. Today we face a similar challenge in recovering from the Artisan disaster. I scarcely need to mention the 100 of lost lives, but despite those most giving of rib who devoted eternity to staving off the inevitable decay, I tell you, we will rally again and we will carry on, but not if we allow these maniacs to continue their rampage. You stand before the four culprits of the destruction of the Artisan's Annex and the murder of our most valued craftsmen, and we will have vengeance. The ring of hooded bodies hisses and stamps their feet, bones rattling in rage.
Okay, I huddle with the guys. Who are the artisans that we killed?
Yeah, this is your first case?
Yeah, I mean, I've done some Model United Nations before, but it's all right.
Can we remind these people that we did everything? We killed Admiral Darkstar? We're responsible for everything good that's happened in this region?
And it was his palace that fell down on all the artisans or
whatever.
Hold
it for the cross-examination. We got this.
No, that's not how this works.
What?
Okay.
The cross and examination shall begin shortly. I mean now.
All right. The defense would like to call to the stand Quark, please.
Yes. Hello.
Now.
My name is Quark. Psst.
How are you feeling today?
Not so good. Why am I doing your accent? I don't know. I feel like shit. I got a soul chain fuse ticking down into my chest.
There you have it. First of all, we have a medical expediency that we need to make sure is there a jury?
No.
Just a judge?
There's the council.
People.
Yeah, the three bone sages.
Oh, okay. All right. Yes, like the Superman guys, the guilty.
Exactly.
All right. We have a
Use that word so much.
We have a medical expediency, so I will ask you to take some sort of leniency and consider that. Now, thank you very much. You've been great. Lie down.
I'll say thank you.
You're welcome. I'd like to call to the stand Sharpie.
Yes.
Sharpie, are you in fact a corporeal body right now?
No, I'm made of gas at the present time.
Would you say you're a big ball of gas?
I mean,
A lot of hot air?
Well, I...
Blustery wind that wouldn't mean anything, sincerely? You're joking, you're jesting a lot?
Yeah, but I'm not always this way.
But you are now.
Right, yes.
And you
right
have
now.
Been in the recent past.
Yes.
So it would be difficult for someone to take, say, a comment or a threat seriously, and if they did, that might be on them.
Yeah, well, I just turned to gas like 5 minutes ago.
Okay. Sidebar.
Okay.
He's trying to help you.
Yeah, but I mean, I can't. I mean,
they weren't going to buy that.
Yeah.
I mean, but he was taking the physical.
I like where he was going with that.
Yeah, he was taking the physical form and he was making a bigger metaphorical point.
I will continue. Though you are now physically a ball of gas and you weren't at the time, is it not true that when you go through some sort of transformation, you like when you're drunk, you become your true self? You have now turned into what essentially your essence is, and that's a wag, a jester, just someone who has a good laugh.
I am an alcoholic, and I have a problem with authority. If that's what you're asking.
Do they all have to be sentenced individually or as a whole? Can we cast one aside?
I'm
throw one to the dogs. I was asking the judge.
Yes.
Okay. Good. All right. Chris, I call to the stand. Chris DeBerg.
Hey,
Chris. What the fuck is going on here, Chris?
Okay, here's what happened.
Yeah.
I don't know these guys that well.
Fair enough. I like this.
And I have literally been fighting them for the last few hours. Ask them. I've been vomiting on their faces. And
because you're possessed by
shooting
evil.
Laser eyes at them in an effort to get them to stop killing all the artisans that they'd been talking.
That's not true. Harumph! Harumph! Harumph!
Order in the court!
Harumph!
Oh, Jesus. All right. How did the castle fall down? Isn't there a castle?
Yeah, we killed Admiral Darkstar.
Because he had it coming.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Everybody agrees.
Everybody here agrees with that. Yeah.
Your Honor, you did great service for the land. Without three, we wouldn't even be having this conversation because we would all be dead.
He'd still be alive. We'd all be on the run from Admiral Darkstar. Instead, destroyed... If not dead already!
Yeah.
Instead of everybody being dead, we just killed all the artisans. Let me rephrase that. Instead of everyone being dead, because of the good we did, all the artisans are dead.
I thought,
Your Honor, there's a term in warfare and government, it's called collateral damage, that the needs of the many are greater than the needs of the few, and I think that's what we have here, and if you fail to appreciate that, you might as well, your justice and your morals might be as dead as you would be if Darkstar was alive.
I think he is alive. I think he's possessed Chris DeBerg. I think that's why he's being an asshole.
Harumph! Harumph!
We never saw him die.
Harumph!
We killed him and then a giant robot and we ripped his head off. There was gas everywhere. I don't know what the fuck. And then I think Admiral Darkstar is still alive. And I certainly know he's alive in the hearts of all you assholes if you continue to be dicks to us. Because that's what Admiral Darkstar wants. He wants us fighting each other.
All right.
I hate everyone.
Okay.
Order. Still on the stand. Yes. Can I say I am not possessed by Admiral Darkstar? Star, but maybe he wasn't such a bad guy, right?
All right.
Harumph!
All right.
Maybe he had some good points.
Now, Your Honor, Your Honor?
Yes, what, huh?
There's three of them.
Your Honors.
It's yours, Honor.
Yours, Honor. I was just thinking that. All right. I'm going to invoke a little-known codicil of the legal book called the Kansas Clause, where
shit.
If a house falls on a witch, it's not the house owner or occupant or visitor's fault. They were merely going about their day. They did. Can you prove any intent to kill? At worst, this is involuntary manslaughter and not artisan murder. But put that out of your triad of brains. And look at these faces. First, let's start over there. Look at that face.
Yeah.
Look at that. Look at that salt and pepper beard. The sweet disposition. The very fear of having blood drawn.
Same face, by the way, that spit in your beloved frost giant's eyes.
Okay.
So,
all right.
You know,
all right.
You love him so much.
Shut your prison hole. All right. Let's take a look at Krista Berg. Look at that face.
This is an artisan killer?
Let me tell you something. I went to a college with a man who had killed artisans. He was a big, brawling man. He had studs. He had pink in his hair. He was a punk rocker. That was an artisan killer. Look at this. Listen to him speak. Say the word. I can't even do it.
I can't even do
it. Listen to that.
I can't dance.
It's so sweet. Now, we have a limited time over here.
Am I still in a barbarian rage or no?
No, please.
No.
Okay.
He's weak. He's fragile. He's sickly. He's
poor. I don't want to die.
Yeah, you're not going
to... I don't want to die, Larry.
Do you want to do this to him? Look at this face. Now, there are three of you. And there are three of them. And what I ask you is that if all of you are going to find them guilty, you have to find all three of them guilty. But all three of you must find one innocent little lamb among these three. And if there's one, certainly there could be three. Don't kill them. Let them live. And I will tell you this. If you let them go, they will bring you back the head of the Marsh Minotaur. Shut up, go with me.
Harumph!
Go with me.
Harumph!
Go with me. Who I know
Harumph
is the scourge of the...
Jesus Christ.
There's our next Mondo.
Yes. He's the scourge of the flea market hills. He's been going in there every Sunday when they have their little farmer's market, and he's taking the goat cheeses and the artisan breads, and he's taking them for themselves. The poor peasants, they need to be rid of him. If you see it in your heart to let these three go, they will bring you the head of the Marsh Minotaur. That is absolutely my guarantee. And then, if they don't, lock him up and throw away the key. Send him into the pits of Skaldor. Send him into the sex caverns of Jambi Dime. Send them to the dungeons of Stubnorts for all I care. But these people are not guilty.
Harumph.
I rest my case. No further questions. Attica, Attica. You are out of order.
So the bone sages, they deliberate. They deliberate. They grumble and groan and talk to each other for a while, and they're like, that guy and his fucking goat cheeses, he has been a thorn in our side. Well, you guys have made really good points. I'm actually quite astonished. You came up with possessions and all sorts of reasons why they might not totally have been in their right minds. And it seems like, did you mention that they killed Admiral Darkstar? Are you serious about that?
Yeah, as a great service to the land.
Maybe even Lenev couldn't do guy. That.
Lenev is a pussy willow. He's been titty bitched and he can go screw.
I gotta admit, when he came in here hissing and yelling, I was pretty perturbed by that whole thing.
Yeah, he's a little bit of a fuckface. I was surprised when he brought us in. I was actually impressed that he belonged to you as a people, and it didn't mesh.
He's still a great warrior and a hero to our people.
How do we know that it wasn't Lenev that killed the artisans and is trying to pin it on us?
We don't.
Well, then that settles it. Bring out the beast of burden and tell him Varna shall finish.
What?
Tell him Varna!
Tell him Varna!
Tell him Varna!
Tell him Varna!
Something resembling a large, maybe like a cow-sized, fleshy, six-legged pill bug, like a pill bug, but fleshy. Fleshy trundles into the church.
Like a skin tag?
Yeah. But like a roly-poly that's a skin tag. That's what's happening. Trundles into the church and kind of stands in front of you guys before you see his head kind of head flesh. It peels back and reveals a strange skull. And the skull gives a screech and then shatters and it falls dead.
Look.
Tell him Varna is over. The shackles vanish.
Jesus.
I thought that was going to go a different direction.
I think in the skeleton justice system, it's better to let one man go free than to not have 10 potato bugs skulls shatter. Something like that.
You shall take care of the Marsh Minotaur.
Okay, is that negotiable, or
hey,
are we locked into
did
that?
You not see the Beast of Burden just now?
We yeah. saw it.
We did make a promise.
It's not negotiable.
Oh, okay.
I gather our little group together, and I shake Larry's hand, and said, I got to be honest, Larry, I didn't think when you started that you had what it took, but you really...
You gave me a little speech out there.
Larry, were you... making up the Marsh Minotaur?
Yeah, I mean, that was just bullshit, right?
No.
That's a real thing?
Think that is fearsome. Wait till you get my bill.
That's a closer.
Oh, yeah.
Lord Joe.
Skeleton lawyer closer.
Thank you. 555-293. I'll fight for you. I did it for them. I can do it for you. Skeleton Gary.
Matt Corley, everyone.
Kumail Nanjiani. Spencer Crittenden. I'm Jeff Davis. Thank you, Adam, once again. Everybody here at NerdMail, one more time for your mayor of Harmontown, Mr. Dan Harmon.
Aaron will be back next week. I love you, Aaron. Sorry you're not here.